Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're talking about Elizabeth Warren's plan to cancel student debt, not only about the financial aspects of it, but the procedural aspects of how she would intend to do that. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll, in light of what happened in the Dome after the championship game, should a police officer have tried to stop LSU players from smoking cigars after the victory? And as it stands now, 100% of you are saying yes. We'll talk more about that in the next half hour. Neil McCluskey joins us, director of the Cato Institute Center for Educational Freedom. Good morning, Neil.
Morning. How you doing?
I'm well, sir. Let's establish a foundation, I guess. The amount of people affected by student debt, the total amount of it, the amount per person, et cetera.
Sure. Well, there are tens of millions of people, I believe, who have some student loans. It all depends on when you took out your student loans, who you are. But the total amount of student loan debt, the total volume out there is about $1.6 trillion. But that is all sorts of debt, mainly from the federal government. There's a little private debt in there, but there's a myriad of federal student loans. So some are held by parents, a lot's held by students, graduate students, undergraduate students, a whole variety.
So I guess this would be good news if you're in favor of it, bad news if you're not. Elizabeth Warren is saying she would use an executive order, if elected, to forgive $50,000 of debt for 95% of student loan borrowers. Is that a legal procedure, as far as you know, to do that?
Yeah, I don't think there's any legal justification for it. Now, she put out sort of a three-page legal brief that came from a group that is sort of advocates for student debtors. But there was nothing in there that I saw that actually justifies the Secretary of Education, under the order of the President, blanket canceling student debt. And the fact of the matter is, if you look at the various laws that have been implemented in the last 10 years that all deal with student debt, none of them have any language that it comes even close to saying the secretary can forgive all debt. And they have many specific programs for debt forgiveness that have very specific rules. And if you're going to have very specific programs, it wouldn't make any sense if there were just a blanket ability for the Secretary of Education to forgive whatever debt they want to forgive for whatever reason.
Economically, you know, I could see where that money could be spent somewhere else in the economy, buying consumer goods, et cetera. But that money is owed to what, institutions of the federal government? Who would not get paid if that were to happen?
Yeah, most of it is due to the federal government. And by the federal government, we mean taxpayers. What people need to understand is that the federal government puts out these loans and they budget long-term on the expectation that those loans will be repaid with interest, with the various charges. Now, they have long overestimated how much money they're going to get back from the loans, but they've already spent money on the expectation that those loans are going to be repaid. And so if they're canceled, that means taxpayers pick up the bill for all those things that were supposed to come from people who freely agreed to take on debt so they could go to college and greatly increase their lifetime earnings.
When you say freely agreed, and we'll pick it up here when we come back, Neil, cases have been made. And I heard a podcast one time about what would make it appear as though these were predatory lending procedures that were involved here. Other people are going to say, well, you need to know what you're getting yourself into. Government lines to help people refinance a debt or whatever not working, being denied. We'll talk about all when we come back. We're talking about Elizabeth Warren's plan to forgive $50,000 of student debt by executive order. Are you in favor of that or not? 8:20, time for traffic, WWL. 8:24, Tommy Tucker, WWL. We're going to have open lines next half hour so you can talk about this thing in the LSU locker room after the game, lighting up cigars. A police officer tried to enforce a no-smoking ordinance. A lot of controversy over that, believe it or not, as to whether it should have happened. Also, Elizabeth Warren's talking about forgiving student debt, $50,000 for about 95% of the people that have student loan debt. And Neil McCluskey, our guest, director of the Center, Cato Institute Center for Educational Freedom, Elizabeth Warren said she'd do it with executive order. Neil, so I understand you're saying there's absolutely no basis in law for her being able to do that, correct?
Yeah, I sure don't see one. If you read the laws that she says this is based on, there is no authority for the Secretary of Education to give blanket loans, but she says she has a justification. You can read it. It doesn't make any sense, but it's out there.
So people, think tanks are saying, and I'm seeing some pushback here, saying that it in a way disproportionately affects the wealthy because you're helping people with taxpayers' dollars that went to college that should be making more money than other people, correct? So, I mean, that there would be an inequity there, although a backward kind of inequity.
Yeah, well, and that's a really absolutely crucial point to understand. If you look at who has student debt, the vast majority of student debt is, first of all, held by people who have graduated, and many of them have gone to graduate school. If you graduate from college, on average, you're going to make $1 million more over your lifetime than somebody who didn't graduate from college. So that huge earning premium, that debt is really small relative to that. And it turns out the people who have the toughest time repaying their debt are the people who have the smallest on average debt. And that's because those are people the federal government happily gave money, but were facing so many obstacles, their chances of finishing school were really poor. And it turns out they didn't finish. So they took on debt without a degree, without the additional earnings. So it's actually the poor. They have the smallest debt. They're having the most trouble paying it. This would really help people who got exactly what they wanted, disproportionately. They're the people who went to college, graduated, and got good jobs.
And the other side of it, it seems to me, is, well, first of all, what do you do in the future, right? Do you give grants to everybody, $50,000 of grants to everybody? When do you start this? When do you finish it looking forward, right? I mean, and then other people are texting in, Neil, saying, oh, hang on a minute here. My kid had student debt. They worked hard, sacrificed to pay it off. Other people are texting in saying, I paid off my kid's student debt. So wait a minute. Do I get a refund on that? Do I get to submit my checks? There's no way you could enforce this, is there?
Well, no, it's absolutely unfair to anybody who economized or who did pay off their debt, or, you know, they went to a school that was less expensive so they wouldn't have to take on debt. And there's no way that you could make this fair to all those people who did that. And the fact of the matter is, people took on debt to go to college to greatly increase their future earnings. And so most of them profited from this. Now, the one thing you can say is that the federal government shouldn't have as easily given debt to people. They should have done at least some assessment of whether or not somebody is equipped to actually complete the program they start. The federal government doesn't do that because politicians tend to benefit when they give money out to everybody without asking, you know, is this a good thing for the government, the taxpayer? But even more importantly, is it a smart investment for you, the person we're giving money to?
But
if we went to private lenders, they would have a high incentive to do that because they don't get repaid if they take a bad risk.
I'm sorry, Neil. What I was going to say is, and if that were to happen, the government's going to be accused of picking winners and losers in terms of who gets to go to college and who doesn't. In my opinion, this falls on the parents, because if you have an 18-year-old that wants to go to an expensive school and they're accepted into the school and they want to major in French literature, nothing against French literature, but if you're going to rack up $100,000 of debt to have that college experience, at some point, it seems to me, if you're smart enough to go to college, you should be smart enough to realize that you have to pay this money back.
Yeah, well, and a lot of the debt forgiveness would go to people who were kind of traditional students. You know, they were 18, they went to college, their parents like, go ahead, you know, take on some debt, whatever, major in whatever you want. But it's actually people who are sort of non-traditional students who went older, who had families, who have been working, who haven't been in a college prep track. They're the ones who are actually suffering the most, because they disproportionately the ones who have taken on federally funded debt and were really not in a position to complete their program. So we'd be rewarding all those people, basically, who weren't in a bad position, who could have paid for it themselves, or were okay taking on the debt, and who probably finished and probably did okay, we're helping all those wealthier people, or we're saying, don't worry about your decisions, and we're not going to be helping the people the federal government hurt to begin with, typically, because they were non-traditional students who the federal government gave money with a good expectation they weren't going to be able to finish.
Thank you, Neil. I hope you have a great weekend. We appreciate your time. Neil McCluskey, thanks. Director of the Cato Institute Center for Educational Freedom. Open lines, we come back talking about forgiving student debt and also about enforcing the no smoking law in the locker room after the LSU game. Right now, time for WWL First News with Dave Cohen.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.